All right, welcome to our week five preview here on AFC North Talk. I am Tony Serino. I represent the Pittsburgh Steelers here on the show, joined by three of my favorite people to talk AFC North football with. We'll start with Europe's biggest Ravens fan, Sonny from SCG Sports. Sonny, how are you?
I'm great. Europe's biggest fan. I like it. Sounds good.
Europe's biggest Ravens fan. I mean, you're the biggest Ravens fan in Europe I know. That's for sure. All right. We also have Ace Boogie, who, if you see behind him there, he's got a Terrell Owens Bengals jersey. That's how you know this guy is a legit Bengals fan. Ace, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Glad to be here on the panel. Always look forward to this. Always have to make sure that I'm taking my notes and stuff before we do these things. So I'm always looking forward to these for sure.
And then we also have Quincy Carrier representing the Cleveland Browns on cloud nine right now, a 3-1 Browns team. Quincy, how are you feeling?
Got to come back down. Big game against the Indianapolis Colts. By the way, shout out to Ace. Ace has so much Bengals gear. Like, he has given Mike Brown so much money. He's going to be able to buy Joe Burrow a receiver with the money that Mike Brown makes just from Ace alone off that Bengals gear. It's going to be an interesting week this week. Can't wait to talk about it with you guys.
Well, we got some good games to talk about today. Of course, your Browns, Quincy, are going to go up against the Indianapolis Colts. We have a marquee matchup here in the AFC North, the Bengals taking on the Baltimore Ravens. But let's first start with the Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Philly. Actually, before we start with the Steelers Eagles, I do want to let everyone know. First of all, you can find this in audio form. If you'd rather listen to us in an audio, you can find this as a podcast. And secondly, super chats are enabled. So if you want to have your chat read on the show today, if you have any questions for any of us here, go ahead and leave a super chat. We will read that here on the show. Now, let's get started. My Steelers back in action after their COVID break a week ago. They will take on the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. For me, this game comes down to one thing. This is a game all about Carson Wentz. And you know, if you look at who Carson Wentz is right now, he's a terrible quarterback, one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. The Eagles offense is suffering because of it. They're the third worst offense in the NFL right now by DVOA. Wentz is the third most sacked quarterback, one sack behind Joe Burrow. And we've talked every week on this podcast about how often Joe Burrow is under pressure. Wentz leads the league in interceptions right now with 7, and he's fumbled 4 times. And so you look at this game and you look at who the Eagles are going up against in the Steeler defense, and the fact that the Steelers are generating more pressure than anyone. They have more sacks per game than anyone. They have the best run defense in the NFL, so it's not like, you know, the Eagles are going to be able to bail out Wentz with Miles Sanders in a running game. The one intriguing part of this game, it happened very recently, and that is that T.J. Watt sat out of practice today. So he may not go. It's a Wednesday right now, Thursday, I should say. And so if he doesn't practice tomorrow, it may be unlikely that he's able to go because that's a knee injury that he set out. But you guys know, if TJ can't go, it's my boy Ola coming in, and the Steelers will be just fine with Ola Dede. There's only two ways I see the Steelers losing this game. The one way is kick field goals instead of touchdowns. Right, the Steelers have not been good in the red zone this year, 50% conversion percentage so far in the red zone. So if you're kicking field goals, you're letting teams hang around. Or you saw this on Sunday night with doing the old Nick Mullins interception touchdown routine. If Ben's going to have a bad game here, and the Eagles have a good pass rush, I should give them credit because they can get to the pass rush, or they can get to the quarterback as good as the Steelers can. If Ben's under pressure, if he's throwing interceptions, well, then this can become a game again. But I don't, you know, this is the Steelers' first game with fans in the stands. I don't imagine they're going to come out after a bye week and lose this game. So I have the Steelers winning. Quincy, we'll go over to you again because I know, you know, I don't know if you're coming off a 6-10 just yet, but how do you see the Steelers going on Sunday?
I'll tell you this. If the Steelers win this game by a significant margin, which they should, and that will prove that they are who we think, or who a lot of people think they are, at least defensively. This is a team that they should get a ton of turnovers against. They have no solution at left tackle at this moment. Philadelphia does. Not a good team to have no solution on left tackle with. And also, Carson Wentz is the quarterback. And Carson Wentz can be okay, but like all time, most reckless quarterback of all time with the football. When he's running it, when he's getting sacked, when he's about to get sacked, when he's trying to throw out of a sack. Like, this man, I never thought I would say this to somebody in my life, but Carson Wentz desperately needs to watch some Joe Flacco tape, because man, he could inject some Joe Flacco into him and he might be a lot better, because he's not a terrible quarterback. You know, if you just pass for pass, if you're grading for that, like, he's not been terrible. It's just, he's so reckless. He's going to turn the ball over multiple times a game. Like, what he has, like, a ton of interceptions, a ton of fumbles.
11, you know, yeah.
Yeah, even when he doesn't get intercepted or fumbled, he's sacked. He's getting sacked, and it's not all the time because of his offensive line. It's because this dude's like ghosting in the pocket for no reason, yeah, running 10, 15 yards backwards and thinking he's Johnny Manziel at College Station and just going to throw the ball across the field and just see what happens. This is terrible. This is not a good combination to go against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Minkah Fitzpatrick, who has been getting a little bit of a rough stick from some people, Ace, we've been giving him. This is something he should be licking his chops, because he's got to get a couple of turnovers. Well, a turnover's fine. A couple is a little bit excessive for a B plus safety to expect out of him, but. You know, you got to get a couple of turnovers there. The secondary has to step up and get those turnovers there. Not to win. They can win without the turnovers, just to prove it to themselves before they hit the rougher part of their schedule. Because I just don't think this Eagles team is very much anything good unless Pittsburgh's going to turn the ball over a ton, which can happen. I'm not going to rely on that. There's nothing that indicates it's going to happen. Ben, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. Right. And the 1 interception was just a bad decision. So, could toss that one out. It's not really something that seems like a pattern. So yeah, the Eagles aren't coming into this game. This is about as bad as a fit to play a team as the Browns were against Washington when they played them. This was a pretty bad fit for Washington. This is a really bad fit for Philadelphia. Where's this game? Is this in Pittsburgh?
It's in Pittsburgh again, and there's gonna be fans. So yeah. It's going to be a rough.
I'm gonna trade for the Steelers defense on fantasy. We'll see what happens there. I expect Pittsburgh to know they can get some turnovers and just try to run the ball as much as possible. Just keep turnovers out of the situation, out of the conversation. I just don't see it for the Eagles. I mean, like, Carson Wentz can come out here and put on a great and look like MVP Carson Wentz again, but I don't think anybody believes in him being able to do that on that team and in that locker room. And that's a huge part of being able to look like an MVP quarterback, is having buy-in from your locker room.
Ace, you watched the Bengals play the Eagles a couple weeks back, so you've seen this Eagles team for 60 minutes. How do you see them matching up against the Steelers?
I would just love to be able to have the quarterbacks that the Steelers have faced, with the exception of Deshaun Watson at this point. Daniel Jones, Jeff Driscoll, and now Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz just is really a turnover prone quarterback, and the Eagles are really just gasping for air right now. I don't know what's going on with that NFC East, but to me, I think that this game is definitely one in the trenches. Like you said, the offensive line in bad shape. Steelers defensive line is going to murder this team. I don't know what the over and under is for sacks, but I would take the over. I don't care if it was 10. That's how bad their offensive line is. That's going to lead to turnovers. And I also think that with them having so many guys out, I know in the game that they went against us, they lost Dallas Goedert. They lost Deshaun Jackson. I mean, Jackson is always in and out of the lineup. Yeah. And you're going against that Steelers defense. It's going to be a rough one. This may actually be the game where they're going to have to question whether or not they're going to pull Carson Wentz. That's just my thinking, because this could get ugly. Like, I'm talking about a bunch of sacks. Yeah. Maybe two, at least minimum of 2 interceptions, a fumble. I know we were talking before this, we cut on, that he's fumbled the ball several times. So there's going to be turnovers in this game. Yeah. And I think that Pittsburgh will be able to capitalize on that. And I think that it just simply comes down to who has the better quarterback. And even though Ben has had his fair share of interceptions, it's never been like Carson Wentz. Like, this is reaching peak Eli Manning level with what he's doing here. So I think it's easily a win for the Ravens. I mean, not the Ravens. I'm sorry. The Steelers. And I think that they go in there and they take care of business. I think the Philadelphia Eagles are just in trouble. I don't know what's going to happen there after this season. I don't know if they're going to have to move on from Carson Wentz. I don't think Jalen Hurts is really ready, but I think that they have no choice. He's going to force their hand.
Listen, remember what Ace a couple weeks ago said, they're going to have to bench Dwayne Haskins. That happened. So Ace knows what he's talking about. I think it would be early. I thought it was early for them to pull Haskins. I think it would be early to pull Wentz. But like you said, Ace, the guy, Wentz, is on pace for nearly 30 interceptions, 28 interceptions, what he's on pace for right now.
Yeah. Out of production.
It's not
going to
be 30-30.
Right.
I don't think they pull him now. Look, this game should be literally like the Ravens against the Redskins last week. Oh, sorry, the Washington team. Mm-hmm. By the way, I knew you were thinking about the Ravens Bengals game. I think you got it right over there. You slip it up. I heard that Ravens win. I got you. That's for later. That is for later. Look, what do the Eagles have? No O-line, no receivers, two good tight ends, a quarterback that with a bad O-line holds the ball, which, dude, come on. And then I think A said it right. I used to call Eli Manning that he had color blindness, right? Because he forgot what color his team was and threw it to the other team. I think Wentz is approaching that too. So dude holds the ball, gets fumble, gets sacked, throws to the other team. The Steelers have a great pass rush. We had talked about them being one of the best D-lines. And Minka, like Quincy said, should have at least a pick because that's what Carson Wentz does. I think it should be at least a pick and at least a forced fumble in this game, a strip sack. And I don't know, at least four sacks. And after that, if the Steelers don't win, yo, you have big issues. Like you watch Philadelphia play, they watch against the Bengals. I watched that game, and sorry, Ace, but in that game, neither team wanted to win. Like in right. that game,
oh, that's real.
Neither team wanted to take the W. Right. And then I watched them against San Francisco. San Francisco was decimated, like injuries all over the place, and they won. Yeah, but I mean, it took a pick six, right?
And they won. They pulled the quarterback too. Yeah, it was so bad they pulled the quarterback. San Francisco pulled their quarterback. Yeah.
Yes. So and they it wasn't like they just killed San Fran. Right. San Fran has had injuries on the D line, the offense, everywhere. So this should be a. What is it you call it, Quincy? Tap that booty game?
Beat that booty selection.
There you go. That's what it is. That's, I'm telling you, if you guys don't win, you definitely have injuries. I agree with Ace. Look, the Steelers have been giving a cupcake out of a schedule for the first quarter because you didn't play the Tennessee Titans. That was your toughest opponent. And I think Philadelphia, when everybody's healthy, they are a pretty good team. But at this point, they are down with a bunch of injuries. So right now,
they had a quarterback. I mean, unfortunately for them, Carson Wentz is not.
That too. The quarterback has been regressing. So anyway, I think it should be an easy win. I think the Steelers should win by at least, I don't know, 17 points.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that they've also had 2 weeks to prepare for this garbage team.
Right.
Oh, by the way, I want to give a shout out to Steelers folks.
Big Ben crying about a 3-day bye. What was up with that?
I like this. Okay, so I agree with you, right? I agree. It's very silly, right? The Steelers are handling this very silly in that, like, you know, oh, we got the short end of the stick on this. You know, they screwed us. What? Okay, here's the thing. You got to buy.
Here's the rent coming.
Right? Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's what I like. Here's why I like it. Do you remember it was 2-3 years ago when the Patriots had that dumb saying, we're still here, right? So, and this was during their Super Bowl run, their last Super Bowl run, they won the Super Bowl. And they had that dumb saying, we're still here. Like, they were treating themselves like they were underdogs. This is a team that had been to, like, 15 straight AFC Championship games. They had been to 8 Super Bowls, right? And you know, they're about to win their next, like, we're still here. We're, you know, playing the underdog role. I like that. Listen, you got to give yourself some look, the NFL is not putting cupcakes on your schedule. You got to build it up some way. You got to get that momentum somehow. And so if the Steelers want to act like, hey, the NFL's against us, and that's how they want to get their motivation, I'm totally down. Absolutely.
Find the Steeler fans, man, y'all eat one packet of ramen noodles and listen to one NBA Youngboy song, and y'all like, yeah, I know poverty. Like, yeah, this is it. This is what it's like. I know what it's like to be struggling. No. By the way, let me give a shout out to Steeler fans. Because only Steelers fans can start the season against arguably two of the worst teams in the NFL in Denver and New York. Your best team you played so far just fired their coach, so not necessarily, not necessarily a glowing recommendation of that team.
It's so difficult that we broke them up. JJ and Bill O'Brien.
No. The loss to the Starry Vikings broke that up. that's what broke that up. And then in week five, you get to play a team that you just match up tremendously well with, and you'll still find Steeler fans who go, man, this schedule's against us. This schedule, they're rigging
the schedule against us.
I don't want to derail with this real quick, but the NFL, I don't know if you guys have seen what's going on with the Titans so far, but I went on here last week and said, look, no forfeits. Forfeits are ridiculous. They may actually do forfeits because the Titans are being found out to have practiced with the players after they were told, hey, you have positive tests, stay home. And the players got together and tested and practiced anyway. And now, I mean, we still have positive tests today with that team. So, massive punishments are coming. We'll see if it's a forfeit. But let me tell you this. If they give a forfeit to the Bills but not the Steelers because of the way the schedule works, I'm going to lose my mind on Tuesday. I mean, on Tuesday, you've never seen me as angry as I will be on Tuesday. But anyway.
Like my 6-10 prediction.
All right, let's move on though, because we have a very intriguing matchup for the Cleveland Browns this week. They're going up against the Indianapolis Colts. And Quincy, of course, the Browns are coming off of this not quite 50, right? They didn't put 50 up, but they put up 40. They quite nearly put up 50 on the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, this offense is rolling right now, and they're going to go up against an Indianapolis Colts team right now that is playing pretty good defense, the best defense in the NFL right now. How do you see this one playing out?
It's going to be an interesting battle here for the offensive line because it's going to come down to the Browns' offensive line versus that defensive line of Indianapolis because Indianapolis very strong on the interior of that defensive line. Browns very strong on that interior of the offensive line. That's why I think they have their best players on that unit, or at least their most experienced players in Joe Bitonio, J.C. Treader, and then Wyatt Teller. So it's going to be interesting to see how those guys match up with them. I mean, they have Justin Houston on the edge. They have some decent edge guys, but that's not where they're dominant. They're dominant inside, which is interesting, right? Because the Browns have kind of been tested inside a little bit here at the beginning of this season because what they did, Jonathan Allen, like Washington has a decent interior line rush. They can get inside pressure pretty well. And they held up pretty well on the inside. The edges were a little bit, shaky when Chase Young was in there, but the inside was pretty fine there. So if the Browns can win that battle and be able to run the ball at will against Indy, or just be able to run the ball, 200 yards on the ground, what they normally have done throughout this season or around that number, then I think they're going to have a pretty good day. But that's easier said than done because it's – Colts defensive line is really good, and the Browns have not played anything that good, especially with the linebackers that they have. That's going to be the key for the Browns to get the linebackers out the game. I would expect the Browns to pound the ball early and just pray they commit as many people as possible to that run game to stop that. And that way you can soften their secondary a little bit, because their secondary, I don't see Baker Mayfield having success against the secondary like off the bat because that secondary has been playing really, really good football. As much as we talk about a defensive line for the Colts, the secondary is really what's been shining. And they have Bobby Okereke, and also, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name, Darius Leonard, one of the best linebackers in the NFL, the best linebacker in the NFL probably, playing. They're going to be disciplined. You're not going to be able to do a lot of that play action or a lot of the double reverse that you were able to do against the Cowboys, because they're not going to be fooled. They're going to be very disciplined. They're not going to be out of position. So you're not going to be able to do those things. You just got to run at them. Hope they softened up. Hope they have to add more. And then when they blitz, take advantage of that with Baker Mayfield. That's something I think Baker Mayfield's capable of doing, and that's something I think this Browns offense is capable of doing. When you look at the opposite side of this game, the Colts offense versus the Browns defense, I understand the Browns have an issue in the secondary, and they have a specific issue covering in the middle. But against Dallas, that was not the issue. The issue was when they blitzed, because, their defensive line got tired and they couldn't just get pressure with the front four, their safeties had no speed to get to the edges. That might not be a problem this week, because I don't think the plan is to keep consistent pressure on Phillip Rivers as much as it is Phillip Rivers is going to get the ball out of his hand within 2-3 seconds anyway. He has the lowest pocket time in the NFL. Well, one of the lowest pocket times in the NFL, 2.3 seconds without being sacked very much. He's in the bottom of the league in sacks. He's also in the bottom of the league with pressure. So he doesn't get sacked in pressure. This is all by design. A lot of quick slants, getting the ball out of his hand to set up a play action shot down the field once or twice a game. That's really what they do with T.Y. Hilton. So for the Browns, the players you need to step up aren't your safeties, which is good because your safeties are absolute Duke. But so now you're relying on Malcolm Smith, who's actually been pretty good in pass coverage this year. You're relying on Mack Wilson and B.J. Goodson, who have been decent in that area. You're relying on Greedy Williams and your outside corners to be able to come in and, jump some of these quick slants. And you're relying on your slot hopefully Kevin Johnson more often than Tavier Thomas, even though Tavier Thomas might be out there a lot because he can tackle. Colts get about 50% of their pass production after the catch. So it's going to be interesting. I think the defense actually matches up decently with that offense to be able to slow them down and get them behind the sticks a fair amount. And if the Browns can pound the ball and win that game on the offensive line, on that line of scrimmage, on the offensive side of the ball, they can win this game. And I don't want to say comfortably, but they can win it and have that comfortable feeling. You know how you can win a game by 7 points, but feel like it was never in jeopardy. Like the Cincinnati game in week 2 was a similar situation to that for most part of that game. I think that can be a similar situation for the Browns because I think they can win the battles that they need to. And they're not, I think Dallas was a little bit of a harder battle to win because you have to be good in some areas you typically weren't for most of the game to do that. Here, they're kind of just relying on their guys to show up and be what they have been all season. And for this offensive line to win one hell of a battle up front. But that's also the best unit on this entire team overall. So if you got to rely on somebody to win a very tough battle, that's where you want them to win it.
Sonny, you're big on in the trenches in these matchups, right? And this is an in the trenches type of matchup when you have a Browns offensive line that's playing so well and a Colts defensive line that's playing so well. It seems like that the winner there may determine the winner of this matchup.
Yeah, so for me, this matchup comes down to one thing. Can the Browns, well, not necessarily the only thing, but big thing is can the Browns establish the run? They need to establish the run. As an offense, they're not good. They're an average offense. They're not power offense. So if you establish the run and get that time of possession on your side, that takes them and gives them less opportunity. And a mediocre offense with less opportunity, that is favor your team all the time. So run the ball hard. I think that O-line, I think the Browns O-line is legit. I mean, I said it last week, or not last week, on Monday. I'm sorry, Tuesday, that I think the Browns could be the best O-line of the league. But if not, they're top two, top three. The Colts certainly are in the conversation too. But reality is Phillip Rivers will make a mistake or two. And not necessarily with picks, but just a bad throw, you know, holding the ball, missing a guy. Phillip Rivers, at this point in his career, you know, he's okay. He's an okay quarterback. He's not horrible, but he's not great. I don't think he's that big of a, you know, upgrade over Jacoby Brissett, which is why I think they thought they had with Phillip Rivers. But again, establish the run. And then the second thing is Baker having a turnover free game. If those two things happen, I think the defense for the Browns can hold them to, I don't know, 13, 19, sub 20. And I think the Browns can put a, like a 24 on them. This is a game that I can see 16-24 Browns, but it'll be like Browns running the ball well and then play action. Baker, it's similar to the game that they just played, right, last week. Not as many points because the Colts defense is better than the Cowboys defense, but still, you run the ball well, you pound that ball, you win the time of possession, and then let your receivers win that one-on-one matchup, because as soon as you start pounding the ball, the defense is going to start bringing themselves down. And I think the secondary of the Colts is good. I don't think it's good as, you know, to compete with OBJ or Landry or Hooper, right? So there's mid-matches there for Baker to take advantage of. And like I said, I think the O-line for the Browns is going to be good enough to hold this D-line. So I think the Browns should win this game. But it's not a cupcake game. It's not an easy game, but it's definitely a good, it's one of those games that you're like, okay, let me see how my team does. And if it does what I think they should do, right, this is a good statement win. It's a good game that you build upon. So yeah. I give this to the Browns. I think the Browns should win.
Whew. It would make the Browns 4-1. I can't believe what I'm hearing here. We got a 4-1 ace. Are we about to watch a 4-1 Browns team?
I think you are, because we kind of talked about it and I touched on it earlier. Hey, you know, the NFL is giving the Steelers a favorable matchup with their start of the season. Go look at the Colts. Talking about the Jaguars, yeah. Minnesota Vikings, New York Jets, the Bears with Nick Foles, the real Nick Foles, not Nick Foles where he just comes in halfway during the game and you're not expecting it. The real Nick Foles. That's an inflated team. Like, they're being inflated right now because they haven't played teams that are really good, right? Now, he did go against a good defense, but we all know what it what happens with the Bears. They've never had great quarterback play. So, I mean, that's not too hard to do. And like Sonny has said, Phillip Rivers is He's not anything special at this point in his life. Yeah, he's just definitely just meh. Like, that's what he is. And let me know if any of you guys knew any other receivers not named T.Y. Hilton before you did any Google searches on stats and stuff. I bet you didn't, because no one knows any of their other receivers.
I know Pittman. I like Pittman.
But Pittman is hurt right now. Pittman's hurt right now.
And he's hurt. Yeah, I know.
But name anyone else outside of T.Y. Hilton.
You cannot. Paris Campbell's also hurt.
So that they have. And the Browns have Denzel Ward. The Browns have Denzel Ward, who's going to shut him down. And you know, you don't have anything else outside of that. Like, Jack O'Doyle Rules is not coming through that door with a touchdown or anything for them. I don't see it. You look on the other side of the ball, the Browns are the measuring stick if you have a good or decent run defense or not. They haven't faced a running back like what they have in Cleveland. They did go against Dalvin Cook. He still scored a touchdown, had 65 yards. But no one, until you play the Browns, until you go against that attack that they have there with that offensive line and those two running backs, obviously Chubb is probably out this game. But when you go against them, they're going to get yards. Like, yes, I agree, Darius Leonard, best linebacker in the NFL. He can't do it all by himself. Like, the other guys that are there are trash. Like, Okiriki, Kiki, yeah, he's going to be trash. He's going to be riding and missing tackles all game. Wow.
This is a hot take.
So, yes, I'm not seeing this as a game that the Browns should be worried about. I think that this is an inflated team. They've played bad teams. They have won, but I think that the Browns are just going to be too much for them. I don't think that Phillip Rivers has a 30-burger in him. When the Browns get up on you and they get going with Odell Beckham Jr. and all of these guys, they're not going to know what to do with them. And like I said, Darius Leonard can't do it by himself. Decent defensive line, but until you get that Browns rushing attack in your face, it sounds good before the game. Like, oh, yeah, we just got to contain, you know, Kareem Hunt and these guys and make sure that they don't get it. Nah, easier said than done. Like, this is the number one rushing attack in the NFL. You got to stop it. And then they also, by the way, have Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, and all of these other weapons. And I can't even name your second receiver. Browns are winning this game.
Yeah, I mean, this is an intriguing matchup for sure. I mean, this is good offense versus good defense. This is what we wanted to see. I mean, I went on this whole thing on Tuesday about how there are no, you know, everyone has a good offense and no one has a good defense. But I mean, Indianapolis right now is playing the best defense of anyone that you can. And legitimately.
Yeah, good when defense. You play the Jets.
Right. That's right. The problem is that this is the first good offense that Indianapolis is going to play. Right. And so the second good defense that Cleveland's going to play. We should give Washington more credit defensively for what they've done this year, because in a league where there is no good defense, the Washington, statistically speaking, has not been terrible defensively. What's interesting about the Washington game, if you go back to that, if you want to, so like, it's hard early on because we only played four games, right? And we're trying to evaluate, okay, how would Cleveland do against a good defense? Okay, that Washington game, if you go back and look into that game, you know, Cleveland had a ton of points off a turnover in that game. The drives that they had without turnover in that game, and I don't know if you can read too much into this, they had seven drives in that game that started within their own territory. Three of them were three and out. Right, so Washington did a decent job. Right, it is possible to slow down right as much as you can this Cleveland offense so far in a game where Cleveland would end up scoring 30. Now Cleveland's not going to have Nick Chubb in this game. We'll see how much that impacts it. I'm a big running backs don't matter guy, so I imagine that Kareem Hunt and D'Ernest Johnson are going to be just fine, especially in Kevin Stefanski's offense. But I mean, let's not downplay the Indianapolis defense. I mean, they added DeForest Buckner this offseason, and he has been tremendous for them on the interior. Darius Leonard, like Quincy said, one of the best inside linebackers in the game, although he is questionable to play on Sunday. He is dealing with an injury that will make him a game-time decision. He did not practice today, did not practice yesterday, likely will not practice tomorrow. He said he can play without practicing, but we'll see if Frank Reich agrees with him on that.
Because if not, it's barbecue chicken.
Right.
They don't have walked on the whole game.
Yeah. and then the question for me is, like, can Indy's defense slow down? They're not going to shut down Cleveland's offense, right? When you have a league like this where it's all offense, even the good defenses, there's no shutouts anymore, right? So can they slow them down enough? Can they keep this Cleveland team to in the low 20s? Because when you look at Indy's offense, like you guys talked about, it's not a good offense. I mean, they're still figuring it out. They lost their starting running back in Marlon Mack. They've had to put Jonathan Taylor in there, Nyheim Hines.
I like Taylor. He's a good back. I'm not, not gonna,
Yeah, he's not bad, but he's not who is not their first choice. They wanted to go with Marlon Mack as their feature guy this year. And their leading receiver is Mo Alie-Cox, their tight end. Yeah.
What?
Yes. Exactly. Mo Alie-Cox. Mo Alie-Cox is Indianapolis' leading receiver. Now you said
Mo Alie-Cox.
That's his name, Mo Alie-Cox. He's their leading receiver right now. And you talked about, you know, the middle of the field being a problem. This is how I see Indianapolis potentially. They're going to have some success moving the football. I could see the tight end here having having some success in the middle of the field there where the Cleveland is weak. But I think, you know, like you guys talked about, the wide receiver core in Indy is decimated right now. It's T.Y. Hilton. And I think Michael Jordan is the other guy's name that might start in this game. I believe it's Michael Jordan. I've never heard of him before. So look, my head says to pick the Browns in this game, right? I mean, the Browns, they're coming in relatively healthy. The Colts are not. It's a league that is run by offense, not defense. But I have a brand. Okay, I'm a Steeler fan. We have a great defense in Pittsburgh. So if I am still to believe that my Steelers have a chance of winning the Super Bowl this year, then I have to say that good offense or good defense beats good offense. So I am going to go against my head and pick with my heart here and take the Colts in Cleveland.
That makes me feel so much better. If everybody would have picked the Browns, I'd have been like, oh, no. But here's the one caution with the Browns, though, this week. I will want to caution people because the Browns can't run the ball. But the thing is, if Indy can get a little bit close to disrupting that run game, just a little bit, mm-hmm. they can put the Browns back in, like, second and 12, you know, like, second, like, you just get them back or the Browns get in their own way with some holding or false starts. That's a massive issue for this Cleveland Browns team that they're not ready to solve against a defense as good in the secondary right. as Indy. And that's how this team can easily lose this game. Like, it can happen. Like, falling behind early, maybe you're not having a great game, or maybe DeForest Buckner just channels his inner Aaron Donald and just wrecks the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're relying on Baker Mayfield behind the sticks, and we just ain't at that point with Baker Mayfield yet to where you could just, hey, when is this one? Do what you got to do. That's not where he's at. That's not where he's going to be at. Hopefully, he'll be there at the end of the season or next season. But that's not where he's at right now. So that's a big issue for the Browns. They cannot lose that battle. If they do not win that battle and win it relatively thoroughly, they will have some issues offensively that will bleed into everything else. So they need to thoroughly win that battle. And that's not an easy thing to do at all. So I don't want to give off the impression I think this is going to be an easy win. Also, somebody in the comments pointed out that the Steelers have literally had a preseason because they had like the two easy games to start. The third game was their dress rehearsal, and they sat their starters in week four. They literally had a preseason. Oh, they're the only team in the NFL that had a preseason.
They screwed us. The NFL screwed us. The Steelers are getting screwed this year. They're the only team getting screwed. All right, let's Must move on nice. Here. All right, we got to talk about – we have a marquee matchup in the AFC North, two AFC North teams going head-to-head. Sonny, yesterday when I was doing my research for this game, okay, trying to figure out matchups and whatnot, read a story on ESPN, Lamar Jackson misses practice on Wednesday. The team does not consider it to be a serious injury. He should be fine. Fast forward to today, doing a little more research, Lamar Jackson misses practice back-to-back days for the first time in his career. Is there anything to worry about here with Lamar Jackson and this knee injury?
Now, this happened in the preseason. I think he's been dealing with some sore knee. Now, Harbaugh is notorious for not saying exactly, like, anything around the knee. Even if it is your thigh, he might say, no, he has a knee injury. Or he might go and say, it's leg, right? Like, Harbaugh gives you no details, so we don't know exactly where he is. What is the injury for him? Oh, did I got frozen?
No, you're good.
No, you're good.
Okay. Okay, sorry. My side, I see everything frozen. Anyway, but this is a game that, you know, I think Lamar, they just probably felt sore and they just, you know, bench him or get him a day off or two. Mm-hmm. I think Lamar's going to be fine. I think this is a game that's going to be fun. I want to see Burrow in action. I mean, I've seen him, but I want to see him against our defense. I think this is a game that you will see blitzes for us. They're going to test that O-line. They want to see how their rookie reacts with blitzing. And they're going to play them tight, meaning the receivers and corners are going to be played tight. And I don't think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ace, but I don't think the Bengals has seen any secondary like the Ravens.
Oh, yes, we have.
Proposed, right? Yeah. Like the Peters, Humphrey, and Smith, those three. The Joker has been playing pretty good. Clark has been playing good also in a strong safety position. So that is a good, I think, matchup for the Ravens. I think the receiving core for the Bengals is excellent. I had talked about it before. A.J. Green has been disappeared this year, but A.J. Green usually comes and kills the Ravens every year. So if there's a big game for A.J. Green to be had, this is the game, right? So saying that, I think this is a game that is going to be competitive. I don't see us blowing up the Bengals like we did last year or like we did with the Washington team. I was about to say the same thing that before. I think this is a game that is going to be competitive. I think this game also, I feel like I repeat myself a lot, but I think this is a game that will come down to the trenches. And I think if you generate enough pressure to Burrow, right? And I think this is a game that if pressure comes to Burrow, you can force interceptions on Burrow. We have Peters that is a ball hawk. And then you have Humphrey that also can get interceptions. Also, Humphrey is notorious for those forced fumbles that he produces. They blitz the corner, so they're not necessarily do conventional blitzing. Baker can tell you that pick that we got on Baker. Calais Campbell was the guy that dropped back like 10 yards back, knocked the ball up, and then Marlon Humphrey got the interception. I think this is a game that is, again, it's going to be close. I think the main thing I think the Ravens need to do against the Bengals is choke, as I like to say, choke the run. Prevent Mixon from running wild. If you prevent Mixon from running wild, I think then make that team one-dimensional. I think you have the passing defense to hold, not stop, hold. I think this will be a game that potentially if you stop the run, Joe Burrow goes under 300, probably around 260, 270. But I think that's how the Ravens get the win. Now, if you let Joe Mixon run wild, oh, that opens play action. Even with a great secondary, it's going to be hard because now you're going to commit more people to stop the run. And it's going to open the passing lanes, and then you can see the Bengals hitting us for a big play. All in all, I think that's what's going to happen on that side of the ball. If you go to the other side of the ball, I think the same thing applies. The Ravens need to run the ball. If you go check the four games that we have played this year, all four opponents have basically said, we're not going to allow you to run the ball. You have to pass. And I checked today, and we're fourth in the league on rushing, which I was surprised, to be honest. I thought we were going to be lower than that. And Lamar has, for the most part, you know, been able to get the call and have the passing lane. And the receiver have played well enough, minus that Monday night against KC. You know, and that's what I expect against the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to say the same thing. You're going to stop the run. We're not going to allow you to run. We're going to just put the people necessary to stop Lamar and to stop the running backs. And you receivers and the tight ends, you beat us. And if you beat us, we're going to tip the hat. I'm expecting to see Bates near the box. I'm expecting Bates to be aggressive, maybe occasionally blitzing and try to hit Lamar on a blitz. I think it's going to be a fun game. It's very rare to see AFC North game that is a blowout. I'm not expecting a blowout. I expect a fun game. I'm expecting the Ravens to win by 9, basically 3 field goals.
So, okay, so the Ravens are dealing with this Lamar Jackson injury. We'll see if that is anything serious by the time we get to game time on Sunday. But, Ace, the Bengals are dealing with a little controversy of their own. Carlos Dunlap was on a press conference earlier today and not happy about the fact that Carl Lawson, it seems like, is going to get the start in this game, and Dunlap will be in there on pass rush situations.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It happened today. Carlos was more so upset with the fact that no one told him. So he had to go out and see, apparently, in certain packages, he was not the starter. Now, it seems that that was on rundowns, and it seems that they want to use him exclusively as a pass rusher in this game. I don't think that I have an issue with that, but I do have an issue with them not letting him know that before the game. Like, for it to be a surprise, I think was the only issue. That's not a mistake, though, because Carl Lawson, when I had him on the show, he kind of talked about the NFL likes to put labels on certain players. And one of his labels is that he's only an edge rusher. He can't stop the run. But he's been good. If you look at his PFF numbers, he's been good against the run. He's been doing a good job of it this season. And he's playing out of his mind. I mean, this guy has 3.5 to 4 sacks right now on the season, and he deserves to start. Like, I mean, honestly, I understand where Carlos is coming from, And I think that if they would have handled it differently, then it would have went a lot smoother. But this was the right move by the Bengals. And I think that it's also a wrinkle that is reflective of a strategy against Lamar Jackson. Like, low-key, the Bengals, if you look at all the offseason moves, right, you look at what they did on defense, it was literally a direct response for Lamar Jackson because he destroyed us so many times, and they went out and got DJ Reader because they need to stop the run. Which team runs the most in the division? The Baltimore Ravens. They went out and grabbed Von Bell so they could bring in him because he's good at stopping the run. They went and got Mackenzie Alexander because he's good at stopping the run. All of the guys that they went out and got are good at stopping the run, and that's what this defense has been built for. Now, getting into the game, things that surprised me, like Sonny said, and I think like we all said, we voted the Ravens as the best secondary in this division, hands down, right? And when I started looking into the numbers, because I started doing this other segment where I'm breaking things down by numbers and looking at it, the Ravens' pass defense is the weakest part of their team. And it's crazy to say that, because when you look outside of Marlon Humphrey, you shouldn't throw at him, but Marcus Peters has a 49% or a 49 coverage grade. They're allowing 433 yards this season in the short to middle section of the field. So yeah, there's like a big hole in their defense. And I think, Sonny, I'm trying to figure out whether it's that the run defense is so good or that the passing defense is so bad that teams are passing on them on first and second down because they're having success against them. When you look at it from a running standpoint or a run defense standpoint, they have one of the best running defenses in the league. But one guy that has struggled against the run, Patrick Queen. LJ Ford has been stout against it. And if the Bengals want to have success, they have to run away from LJ Ford. They have to put linemen on him. But if you can get to him, if you can get to the safety, not Clark, but the other gentleman, Deshaun Elliott. Yeah. You can make some plays. The other thing is Tyler Boyd could be in for a big game. I know a lot of people are talking about AJ Green being the Ravens killer and stuff like that. Tyler Boyd lives in the middle of the field. That's the perfect area for him to be in. The other thing is the Bengals, like Sonny has always said, you have to protect Joe Burrow. I think some people look at Joe Burrow and they think of him as a typical rookie quarterback. He's not. If you're expecting that you're going to win this game by Joe Burrow turning over the ball, it's going to be a long game because he really doesn't do that. You also talk about T. Higgins. That's another guy. I think that the game plan for this game has to be to go away from Humphrey. I expect Humphrey to probably stay on the side that he's generally on. If I'm not mistaken, it's the right cornerback position. He usually stays on the right side. He may trail AJ if he moves into the slot, but I think that you use AJ Green as a decoy in this game. And I think that you kill it with Tyler Boyd. I think you destroy the middle of the field. I think you can also prove that they're vulnerable on the edges of the field and you go and attack Marcus Peters. Quincy has always talked about Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters is the guy that is the one that will make a mistake. He's the guy that you can get to bite on something. He's the guy that you can beat deep. You're not going to beat Marlon Humphrey deep. Like, you're just not going to do that. He's one of the top corners in the NFL. You don't need to go at him on third down. He's only allowed 19 yards this entire season on third down. You have to go at him. The other thing is, in the run game, the Ravens, for some reason, and it's crazy because Bobby Hart's going to have to be a guy that we have to depend on in this game, because if you don't run, or if you run to the right tackle side of the field, that is where you can have success. Now, the Bengals, the only issue is they've rarely done that. The other position is also the left guard. If you go behind the left guard, you can get yards on them. But Michael Jordan isn't having, you know, an amazing day over there or an amazing season, and they're only averaging 1 yard per carry behind him. So they're going to have to create runs where they're getting it in bunches. And I think one person that you should target, Matt Judon, run at him. I would run right at Matt Judon. I'd run right at Patrick Queen if you want to take advantage. You're not going to do that against Calais Campbell, even though he's had some issues in tackling. He's still a better run defender. Do not do that. Take what this defense gives you. But it's crazy to me to look up and see that the Baltimore Ravens defense, in terms of total yards, they're at the end of the league. They haven't been good. I'm surprised when I looked at the numbers. I was like, nah, this can't be right. Like, something's wrong here. Like, what's going on? And I think Joe Nobu kind of put me on it, and I was like, nah, that can't be right. It has to be the Chiefs game is inflating this. But when you look at that, that's the issue. Now let's talk about the offense. Lamar Jackson, amazing. If he does have a knee injury, that is definitely probably going to play a factor in, you know, how he can move around and stuff like that. That plays to the Bengals' advantage. You can't let him make a play. You look at the running offense. Lamar Jackson really represents that team from there. Like Sonny just said, he couldn't believe that they were fourth, right? Because if you take away Lamar Jackson's running, that 234 yards of rushing offense, they fall all the way to the 21st in the NFL. So it's really a product of Lamar being so great and having that other gear that he can shift into and make plays. You've got to limit that. The passing offense, I'm not worried about it. They are one of the worst passing teams in the NFL. On average, they pass the ball, or they have 25 pass attempts per game. That is 31st in the league. They do not pass the ball. The Bengals nearly double that. We average it 44 times. So I think that this is a game that is winnable. I think a lot of people are thinking this is going to be a blowout or something like that. I don't. After looking at the numbers for this, I think that Joe Burrow and the Bengals can win this game. I think they can win this game. I think it's winnable.
I'll tell you what, Ace, I was with you. And I look, I tell you, the crazy part about this game is that if you look at the Vegas line for this game, the Vegas line is Ravens by 12.
It started at 14. At 14.
I saw that line and I'm like, I'm ready to put some real money down on the Bengals plus 12. Like, give me the points in this one. I do not see Burrow. I do not see this Bengals team getting run out of the stadium. But then I was like, all right, well, let me look into this a little bit more before I just get reckless here. Here's the one thing that I will say, Ace, that where I think Vegas may be onto something is if you look at how much Burrow and that offense struggled to move the ball consistently against the Chargers and how good that secondary was, okay, and then you look at what the Ravens are going to do with their – I mean, and Sonny touched on this, but the Ravens' defense provides some of the same problems in the secondary. And specifically, I think it's one matchup for me that I all of a sudden have a hard time believing that the Bengals are going to put up big points to keep up with the Ravens in this one. And that is the matchup between Marlon Humphrey and Tyler Boyd. So Marlon Humphrey has been playing primarily in the slot as a slot corner, and Boyd has been playing primarily as the slot wide receiver. And if that is the case on Sunday, if it's Marlon Humphrey versus Tyler Boyd, and we've seen Tyler Boyd have a bunch of really good games in a row now and become kind of a safety blanket for Joe Burrow. If Humphrey's there, if Humphrey's shutting that down and Burrow's got to find other places, we haven't seen A.J. Green come into his own yet. We have seen T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. And if there's going to be an X factor in this game for me, it is about T. Higgins. And can T. Higgins, because he may be in that one-on-one situation where he can get open, but can he do it, right? If he's going up against Peters or he's going up against is Jimmy Smith starting on the outside now in Baltimore?
It all depends on the matchup. Sometimes they put Jimmy on the outside. Sometimes they put in the safety. Sometimes they put in a tight end on a man-to-man coverage. Yeah.
But see, for me, it's T. Higgins. It's T. Higgins is the X factor in this game. But then I have to ask myself, like, am I willing to put, you know, it all on the line for, do I think T. Higgins is going to have a big game against Baltimore's defense? I can't do it. So I do see Baltimore winning this game, although that Lamar knee injury thing is very interesting. And because, Ace, you talked about it. Like, Lamar with a knee injury, if he's slowed down at all, and all the X factor that he brings as his ability to just bring it down and get free yards because of his speed, if he's compromised in any way, well, then, you know, then all of a sudden it shifts a little further to the Bengals. And if Tyler Boyd can beat Marlon Humphrey, well, then it shifts a little further, right? And if T. Higgins can have a big game, well then all of a sudden maybe we could be talking about an upset here.
Going to be on A.J. Green then? Because I don't see the Ravens
Peters.
Saying
– I think it would be Peters on Green.
Peters on A.J. Green?
Okay. Yeah, and then Jimmy Smith
Let me say something about Peters before we throw it to Quincy, because I heard Ace, what he said about Peters. Peters had a horrible game against KC.
They targeted him
8 times, completed 7.
140 yards or something like that.
140. But then the Browns, right? The Browns target him 7 times, receptions 4 for 32 yards. Houston target him 3 times for 2 receptions for 21 yards. And Washington target him 4 times for 1 reception for 9 yards. So I don't know where we're talking about Peters having a horrible season. Peters had a bad game.
I'm just saying on that side of the field, which he primarily plays in terms of snap counts for PFF. Well, they've allowed a lot of yards there. And I don't understand the Marlon Humphrey thing, because if he's in the slot, how were 433 yards completed over there with a 77%
completion? So Marlon has also moved all over the place. So Marlon doesn't play in one side either.
Gotcha.
Marlon has played outside. Marlon, sometimes they say Yo, that guy. Now, like with Cleveland, Quincy can say this. With Cleveland, they told Marlon, Odell, follow him. Right. Outside slot. It didn't matter where he was. Marlon went there.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha.
Well, here's the one thing I'll say about the Marcus Peters thing. The lack of like any real production against a team that's starting Dwayne Haskins and you're Marcus Peters, like your interception guy, you couldn't get one on him. That's a little bit concerning, in my opinion, for Marcus Peters. On top of like three times is what I'm saying. Like, that's enough. That Dwayne Haskins threw like three interceptions against the worst linebacking crew in the AFC.
But that was
like that's what I'm saying. Is like, you have to also prorate this to the level of competition that he was playing against. And it's not like outside of Kansas City, this Ravens team has really played a great offense yet. I mean, like, you might be pointing at Deshaun Watson to be the second best offense. We know what that is at this point, or at least in the first 4 weeks of the season.
But I guess not.
They weren't that. But remember, have they played those same looks that they did against Baltimore in the last 3 weeks? Can you confidently tell me that's the same exact team that played in week one? Because I know from a look and play calling standpoint, it's not. That's the thing. Yeah, they look better now, but what were they trying to do when they attacked Baltimore? They were in shotgun. They were behind the sticks a lot. That's exactly the Browns team I'm afraid of against the Colts. So, like, I think you have to prorate it to that. And Baker Mayfield ain't Patrick Mahomes. Like, we all can agree on that. There's a level of echelon of quarterback that Baker Mayfield's not. He's not a Pro Bowl quarterback. He's not top 15 yet. He's not there yet. So, there's one thing there. Lamar Jackson, that knee injury. Are they going to be ready to just throw Lamar Jackson out there to run the ball a lot after he just missed two practices with a knee injury? Like, that doesn't sound smart to me. And if that's not what they're going to do for their long-term future, which is right, they should not do that. They should not risk that. That's smart. I'm not going to be mad at them if they don't do that. But also, does that really put your offense in the best position if Lamar can't even really give the reasonable threat that he's going to run as much as he normally would? And if he is going to run, do you really, like, I just don't think you want him running against a division opponent, especially. Like, that's just going to be way too physical for somebody you're trying to protect. If Lamar Jackson has to go back there and pass against a pretty solid Bengals secondary, is that going to be putting the offense in the best situation? If you're going to go, instead of saying, hey, Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson, and Mark Ingram win us this game with that run formation that we did all last year and we're so dominant out of, they're going to win this game. But if you're asking Lamar Jackson to step back there and, you know, Marquise Brown win us this game, baby, ooh, that's a lot more shaky. I don't know if I like that for Baltimore. I don't know if that's the same level of team. Like, you know, I know a lot of people still think highly of Marquise Brown. I think he's a good wide receiver. I don't think he's going to carry you to a lot of wins against good teams. I think after this game, a lot of Raven fans are going to join me on this. Hey, the Bengals ain't really that bad program, because this is going to be a close one. This is going to be a...
This is a certified hood classic.
Yes, it will be a very close game this week. I think the Bengals are going to be able to move the ball pretty well against Baltimore. Baltimore, I think you can hit them underneath a lot. That's what Joe Burrow does. I think the one area where Baltimore, people might think you can hit Baltimore, that you really can't, is deep, because the safeties, you know, it's not Earl Thomas. You can't really do that. Look, Joe Burrow ain't hitting nobody deep. He's like 0-13 on the right hash, like down the field. Like, he ain't really doing that. So you can hit him deep. If Patrick Queen, like, I know they took Patrick Queen out during the Kansas City game in pass coverage situations, but if you see 48 out there and you're in shotgun, spread out five wide,
or LJ Fort,
throw that thing to Drew Sample. He's gonna be open. You're gonna get 10, 15 yards. So you can get those things. Joe Burrow can move the ball, and again, he played a much better defense, in my opinion, or at least performing to a much better level in the Chargers this year. Because you look what the Chargers did against the Chiefs, not even close to what Baltimore was able to do. Like, let's be honest there.
They also have Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram.
We have breaking news here. I do want to jump in real quick with breaking news, because Adam Schefter just tweeted this. Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson missed practice today due to a stomach ache, and Wednesday due to a knee injury. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's a stomach ache today, good. Knee injury yesterday. So he will be good to go. And, you know, I've said this before, right? Lamar doesn't deal well with pressure. Doesn't deal well with big situations. look, the thought of Lamar Jackson having to go up against Joe Burrow gave him a stomachache. Think about that. I mean, that's who Lamar Jackson is. Okay, he's thinking about prepping for this game, he's sick to his stomach about having to go up against Joe Burrow.
One more thing. I'll let you laugh it up and all the little jokes. We'll see.
We're not even serious about Lamar. Oh, the Raven fans.
One thing that I will say is we kind of talked about the Eagles having a great pass rush, right? And they have 8 guys that they rotate out there. Even being sacked 8 times and hit 17 times, Joe Burrow threw for 312 yards, had 70% completions, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. The Burrow train is coming. This isn't Andy Dalton anymore.
Yeah, I'm excited for this, but I am. I'll also say this. I don't think it matters what you do to Joe Burrow, because like if you look at his average, like blitz, pass, pressure, no pressure.
He's 84% completion.
He's Joe Cool all the way, and he's been under pressure all season. So, like, also, I think if Baltimore has to blitz, if they have to send guys, I think they're going to be in trouble defensively because I think Joe Burrow can really take advantage of that. And also, you know, AJ Green been quiet, but dropped the clues bombs. AJ Green going to have his first 100-yard game of the season. Ooh. And I'm predicting it right here. Joe Burrow, 350 yards through the air. I'm going to start him on fantasy this week. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. AJ Green, 100. 2 of those touchdowns. Drew Sample going to have himself a nice little game right here. And this is either going to go to the overtime and the Ravens are going to win, or if this ends in regulation, drop another clues, mom. Bengals are going to win this one. I see it. I just feel it. I'm trolling Sonny.
I like this. No, this is a 50-50 one because I have the Ravens. Sonny has the Ravens. Yeah. You guys have the Bengals. It's an AFC North matchup. Love it.
This is going to be a good one. Honestly, I feel like this should have been a primetime game just because it's Joe Burrow versus Lamar Jackson. Like the reigning MVP versus, you know, the guy that's supposed to be one of the future quarterbacks of the NFL. That would have, I mean, 2 Heismans going against each other. I don't know what the NFL was thinking.
Instead we get some beautiful matchups in primetime this week. Vikings, Seahawks, and Chargers, Saints. We can miss both of those. Thank you, NFL, for those marquee matchups in primetime.
But let me say something
on CBS, you get the Browns votes.
Go ahead, all I will say is you guys are sleeping in Baltimore. How are you talking about us? We are one of the worst teams on defense. And that's fine. We'll get tested this week.
I'm just saying that's what the numbers say. That's just what the numbers say.
We'll see.
It is tough. I will say, it is tough to judge that kind of thing because when you have such a bad game like they did against the Chiefs, and it's only a quarter, it counts for a quarter of your games, it throws the numbers off a little bit. But I will say, you know, I mean, like Baltimore's defense, not as good as it was at the end of last year. We can say that safely, Sonny, right? I mean, it's not as good as where they left off.
I would say two things. I don't think we are as good against the run as the numbers show. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're as bad against the pass as the numbers show. I think both things are right. Because 3 out of the 4 games, we won kind of about a blowout margin, right? So teams tend to do what? Don't run anymore. Let's just try to throw the pass, right? And then what happens also at the end of the game? Baltimore starts playing back, allows the short passes, allows them to prevent defense. 5 yards completion, 8 yards completion, 10 yards. So they pad the stats at the end of the game. It does happen in 3 out of the 4 games. I said it against Kansas City. We were trash. I mean, they pass on us. Peters especially was horrible. But in the other games, but hey, we'll see. Again, I think this is between a 10 or 9 point game. Ravens win. So for me, it's gonna be a close game. I think the Bengals are a good team. But yeah, I think Baltimore wins.
All right, we have one more breaking news. They're moving Patriots Broncos to Monday night next week. So that's just news around the NFL. And there is a report here, I think from Mike Florio, who's saying that he thinks that the Titans front office is getting suspended for the entire year. So that's the punishment coming down, not a forfeit. Vrabel and their GM are getting suspended for the rest of the year. That is Mike Florio. You cannot trust Mike Florio, but.
How does that even make it better?
That doesn't make sense because you said that the players themselves,
I imagine it's like, yo, Mike Vrabel's really not taking this thing serious, which, right. Lack of
institutional control.
Yeah. You know, it's been the Belichick tree that's been the league.
Right? We have more breaking news now. We're just going to do breaking news now. Bills Titans has been rescheduled to Tuesday at 6 p.m. as long as there are no more positive tests. And Bills Chiefs, which was supposed to be next Thursday, is a Sunday game. again, assuming no more Titans tests. So they are not moving any, or they're not no forfeits or anything. They're just moving games around.
How are they? You know what, though? I got a real quick question. If they're realizing right now, like, hey, man, like, even on Sunday, some of these games ain't safe with all the testing that we do, how are they still like, yo, we can still play these Thursday games?
You know, how did they play the game? You know, what's his face? Gilmore tested positive, and he played in the game on Monday, and he was hugging Mahomes. I mean, Mahomes comes down with COVID after this.
Oh,
it's going to be a terrible look for the NFL.
I think all Thursday games should be canceled minus Thanksgiving games, right? Because those are marquee.
No, cancel those because Steelers Ravens is on Thanksgiving, and I want to enjoy my Thanksgiving, and not have to worry about playing the friggin' Ravens.
Is that the first one? Is that the one where I said that?
Are you guys really buying that Lamar Jackson missed practice with a stomach ache?
He's scared of Burrow, man. I'm telling
because,
you, he's terrified.
Because I feel like
it's giving him an ulcer. Yeah, I saw an
interview. He was kind of talking about how they have to get things going in the passing offense. How would missing practice like help that? That's the only thing that I don't know. That's
food poisoning
weird.
Food poisoning is bad, man.
Do we got it? Hold on, wait. Do we got it? Because that can be bad. Because I promise, y'all see RG3 trot out there. I'm like, yo, I know he beat the Steelers last year.
We'll take Trace McSorley against the Steelers, please.
Joe Burrow is not Duck. Those are two different tiers of quarterback.
Duck, Burrow. They're close. I mean, I'll put them in the same category, but Duck, Burrow. Yeah, I got you.
But in all seriousness, I'm looking forward to that game. It's going to be a really good game. I think a lot of people are getting me wrong here. I think people think I'm underestimating the Ravens. I think the Ravens are still a very good 12-14. They're probably going to get a bye week or be contention for the bye week and win the division by two games. I still think that. That's not changing. The reason is I just think people are drastically underestimating the Bengals. I think the Bengals are a lot better, especially when it comes to in division. I think they're going to be able to play up to the competition really well. And I think, you know, Baltimore has a lot of like weird things going on this week after Washington with just the injury report and just with Lamar Jackson. Like, we got to figure out what's going on there. And the Bengals are a team that if you come in and you stumble a little bit, they can beat you. Like, the Browns are one, like, at you away from losing that game on Thursday night. And it's not because they played bad. It's because the Bengals were right there with them. So I don't care how good you think your team is. The Bengals are not this 3-13 bottom dweller that you should beat by 14, even though they're in your division. They're a team that if you have some hiccups, you know, and you come in there, like if the Ravens come in there and play like they did against Washington, that's going to be a close game. You know, Washington's not going to be good enough to bring that game within close, but the Bengals will, and they can bring it within one mistake.
When you have number 9, you always have a chance.
Uh-oh, Carson Palmer?
He's getting hype on that.
All right, let's wrap this thing up, everybody. We got, like we previewed today, we have three big matchups in the AFC North on Sunday. We got Steelers, Eagles, Browns, Colts, and that marquee matchup, Bengals, Ravens. Look for those games on Sunday. All right, Sonny, let people know where they can find your work.
SCG Sports everywhere, YouTube, Facebook, IG, Twitter. And obviously here, guys, thank you. This 5:45 p.m. I'll say the guys did it mostly because I asked them to. I appreciate you guys accommodating me. But it's been working out. We appreciate you guys. We get over 100 live views. So that's great. Oh, don't forget to hit that like and share this channel. Appreciate everybody.
Quincy.
Follow me on Twitter at Quincy because I'm going to have some spicy stuff to say if some things happen this week. Also, if the Browns end up losing this game by 40 to the Colts, I know y'all going to be, Joe, it's good. Y'all know y'all going to hit me in them tweets. I'm already ready for it. It is what it is. I've been through this before. But yeah, follow me there and also on YouTube.com/QuincyCarrier. That's where you'll find all of my YouTube stuff. So yeah, check those out.
And then Ace, if you guys don't know, Ace interviewed Carl Lawson on Tuesday. Go ahead, check that out. It's Ace. Let people know where they can find that interview.
Oh yeah, you can find it at New Stripe City. It's a YouTube channel for Bengals fans, but Browns fans, I'm talking to you. Guess who we're interviewing tonight? The Hugh Jackson. So I know you guys probably want to troll and comment and all of that. Man. You got your time. We're gonna be bringing on Hugh, I believe, at 8 o'clock tonight. So you can check that out. But you can find me at New Strike City, and of course you can find me here on the AFC North Talk. So please like, comment, and subscribe. I love going back and reading the comments through the week. I love that you guys challenge me to not even just be a Bengals homer and just pick the Bengals every single week. And I caught heat for that last week. Like, other Bengals fans are like, oh, are you a Jaguars fan now? Or that. So I appreciate you guys for doing that, and that's where you can find me.
That's what you want. You want your own fans to think that you're a hater, but other fans think you're a homer. That's when you know you've hit the sweet spot. All right, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country, and you can find me here every Tuesday and Thursday. You can also find me on Locked On Steelers. I do a Tuesday hit on there. That is a daily podcast hosted by Chris Carter. You can find this in podcast form. So if you're watching, thank you. Hit the like button. Make sure you also are subscribed to the show, because we do this at 5:45 on Tuesdays and Thursdays live. You can also find it in podcast form. Search for it, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts. Search AFC North Talk. You'll find us there. We'll be back on Tuesday, 5:45, to recap week 5 in the AFC North. We'll see you then.